It feels especially heightened, I think, maybe in the last year and a half or so, but the reality is that conflict, of course, has been a part of the human story from the beginning. But today it does feel heightened. Maybe it feels different or more so. But that actually isn't the most important reality to point out. Like the more important reality is that we stink at navigating conflict. We're just not very good at it. At least it feels that way, or it looks that way. Maybe we're better than we realize, but man, when I look around the world, it seems like more often than not, our conflict leads to separation, not unity, and pain, not strength. It's not that we don't know how to navigate conflict. We know how to navigate conflict in a way that leads, again, to those things that we see often, separation, pain. How do we navigate it, though, in a way that leads to peace and to joy? And is that even possible? I talk to people sometimes about navigating conflict and the hope that conflict actually could lead to strength and unity, and I watch people kind of chuckle. Like, come on. Like Nate was saying at the beginning, really? Is that possible? Well, in Romans 14, this chapter we're looking at in this series, we see Paul writing to a group of Christians who were bogged down in a debate over two issues. One was, what day should they observe the Sabbath on? And the other was, should Christians be allowed to eat meat sacrificed to idols? Now, these issues do not seem important to us, do they? They do not seem relevant to us. But I promise you, take whatever issue for you today is an issue of great importance, an issue that you feel deeply and passionately about. And I promise you that these issues about Sabbath and food sacrificed to idols, they felt as significantly and deeply about those things as you do about your issues today, about the issues facing our culture today. And that's because those two issues are connected to the Ten Commandments. And the debate really was, how do you interpret the Ten Commandments? How do you live out the Ten Commandments? What are we arguing about today? How do you interpret and live out human sexuality, right? That would be the big one. So not a lot has changed in a sense. We're just debating different things, but for them, it seemed like everything. It had theological significance, interpretive significance, and significance around cultural identity. What does it mean to be a Jewish Christian? Okay, all this stuff is going on. There was an intensity to the argument. And I just want to go back to Romans 14 and read the first 9 verses, and we'll just get a sense, I think, of the intensity that was present for these Christians 2,000 years ago. So Romans 14, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It won't be up here on the screen, not these 9 verses anyway, as we read through it here now. Just give a listen to the situation that the early church found itself in. Paul begins, "Accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong." And the NIV translates that last part, "Don't argue about disputable matters." So Paul's writing about things that he considers to be disputable, not black and white, issues that might have two varying and different viewpoints. Again, these are Ten Commandment issues, right? Don't forget that. These could not have been more significant, but Paul says they're actually disputable. There's not a black or white. There's a gray here, and he says, accept one another. Don't argue about what they think is right or wrong. For instance, and then he gives these two examples. One person believes that it's all right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Underline that little part there. For God has accepted them. Both people in both opposing camps, God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servant? Paul says. Their own master, God, will judge whether they stand or fail, and with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. He then goes on to the other controversy. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day. He's talking about the Sabbath. While others think every day is alike. Listen to this. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Now, I've always been someone who has struggled to navigate conflict. In fact, for most of my life, my MO has been to avoid conflict at all costs, really. I remember in third grade, I was on the playground one day, and someone came to me and handed me a note, my first note from a girl. You know, piece of paper all folded up into eighths, Chris written on the front, I think a heart over my eye or something like that, you know, the eye of my name. This is from Holly Oldhouse. Oh, I remember, yeah. And inside the note, she says a couple of things, and then she begins to tell me about herself. And we've been going to school for like 4 years together, but apparently she wanted to share some things, like, I live at blank and blank street, and my favorite color is blank, and my favorite band is Chicago, you know, and to which I was like, Chicago, that's a city, you know, I had no context for what she was talking about, and then the letter ended with, hey, where do you live, and what's your favorite color, and what's your favorite band? Well, the first two questions that she asked me, I had them nailed. I knew where I lived, I could answer that one. Blue is obviously the best color in the world, I had that one figured out. But the favorite band question, I was in trouble there because I grew up in a Christian home that was fairly strict around music. So the only thing I had in my mind that resembled a band was this. If you don't know this cat, just YouTube it right now, really. I mean, just have a great time. Oh, man. Okay. Now, I didn't know the band Chicago, but I knew enough to know that Carmen and Chicago were not the same kind of music. I knew that. So not wanting to highlight the difference between us, I wrote back, my favorite band is Chicago 2! Exclamation point. That's a fun, fairly insignificant example of me not knowing how to handle a difference that existed between myself and another person. And it still happens today, of course, at the lunchroom at work when my coworkers are around the table and we're all eating lunch and someone says something that would be offensive if there was a person of color at the table. And I, in that moment, want to just choose the strategy of avoidance, you know. I struggle with what to do about that difference between us. And when a friend is ranting on Facebook, you know, I might really want to choose the strategy of shock and awe, you know, to just lay into them and let them have it. I really don't know all the time of how to handle the differences that exist between us. And I've been wondering a lot the last couple years, is there another way? What if we didn't have to avoid conflict out of fear or become hostile and defensive when we encounter difference? And what if instead we approached conflict as an opportunity What if conflict actually held possibility for unity and strength? I think this is what Paul is encouraging the early church to at least think about here in Romans 14. Again, they're arguing about two enormous theological issues, and in both cases, there are completely opposing viewpoints in play. One group thinks that the Sabbath should only be on this day because it's always only been on this day. And another group says, meh, it doesn't really matter. It's not important which day it is. Sabbath's important, but you know, there's flexibility here. Interpret as you will. Another group, or on the other issue, a group of people said, you cannot eat food sacrificed to idols. It's a part of idolatry. It's like a first commandment of the Ten Commandment things. And then other people who said, meh, it's not that big of a deal, actually. If you think about it, it's just meat, and it has nothing to do with our hearts or our worship of God. And so these two very opposite, completely different viewpoints. One thing that we find here, that I find when I'm reading about Romans 14 and the debate in the early church, I without even realizing it, am asking myself, who's right? You know what I mean? Two opposing viewpoints, which one's right? One of them has to be right, right? And which one is it? And I do that today. Should same-sex marriage be legal or not? Well, which one of those two opposing viewpoints is right? Should we baptize or dedicate infants? Which one is right? Was the earth created in 7 days, or is that more of a poetic language and it's not actually seven literal 24-hour periods? Which one is right? I'm very concerned about what is right, but I want you to listen again to verse 5. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. He's talking about the Sabbath debate. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. What? What? How? Well, like, that doesn't make any sense. How can these two opposing viewpoints, how can they both be acceptable? How's that possible? Right? And I would contend with you that what Paul is saying here is that the scriptures are not primarily concerned with figuring out who is right when it comes to issues that are disputable matters, as he says in verse 1. Can I say that again? In Romans 14, with two huge controversies facing the church, Paul writes that there is something more important than being right. Time out. Let me say something, because some of you are going, whoa, hold on. Are you just saying that everything's okay and there's no right and wrong and you can just kind of do whatever you want? You do you, I'll do me, and we'll just all, you know. Is that what's going on here? And I don't think that's what's going on. In fact, if you read Paul in chapters 13, 14, and 15 of Romans and in 1 Corinthians, you find that Paul writes about this whole issue of meat sacrificed to idols. And Paul thinks that one of the viewpoints is right and one of them is wrong. Paul thinks, if you read him, he thinks that eating meat sacrificed to these Roman gods is perfectly fine. And in fact, he goes as far to say that that viewpoint is the stronger viewpoint, the more mature viewpoint, the right viewpoint in a sense. So Paul himself would come down on this issue in one camp. He would hold a conviction about it and argue that one was more correct or better than another viewpoint. Okay, so it's not that the scriptures are saying that you can't hold a conviction about something, or that you can't feel deeply or think carefully and research and consider and pray and come to a conviction about an issue. That's perfectly normal and acceptable, as we read here. The issue is whether or not we place being right over relationship. I think that's the issue here. It's okay to have a strong conviction, and it's even okay to think that your conviction is right or better, but it's not what matters most. The end goal, the aim, the thing that we are heading for and trying to get to is not being right, but being in relationship. Listen again to verse 19. Let us aim for what? Being right? Let us aim for harmony. Let us aim for tearing each other down in order to prove our point. Let us aim for building each other up. This is the trajectory that we are to be on. And I think you hear this a little bit when you read verses 6, 7, 8. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. Saying, listen, people on both sides of this are trying to honor God. They've come to different convictions, though. And then he says, we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So four times in three verses, this phrase comes up, to honor the Lord. If you think Sabbath is on this day, do you come to that conviction out of a desire to honor the Lord? But if you think Sabbath is on this day, that's okay. But do you come to that conviction out of a desire to honor the Lord? If you think food sacrificed to idols is okay, or you think that it isn't, that really isn't primary. What seems to be more important is the desire to honor the Lord with your conviction. And just to drive it home, verse 8 says, if we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord, which is a way of saying that all of your existence is about honoring the Lord. Every breath, every movement, every conviction you hold, and every decision you make should come out of a desire to honor God. Now, why is this important, especially within the context of conflict? Well, I think one thing that it means to honor the Lord with all of our life, it means, again, that we'll put relationship above being right. Yesterday, there was a small group of people here from the branch in this building, and Earl James was here with us. Do you remember, some of you got to hopefully be here when Earl preached a number of months ago. Earl works for the denomination on areas of culture and diversity and social justice. Earl's been leading a training with a small group of people around something called cultural agility, which is a great phrase. I think it describes what he's trying to train us on, the ability to be agile when we encounter the differences that exist between culture. And yesterday we were just reflecting on some of the basic elements of the posture we need to take when we do bump up against difference, generational difference, ethnic difference, socioeconomic difference, whatever the difference in culture is, when we bump up against those differences, there's some basic postures to take, and one of them is, surprise, surprise, humility. And one of the people in our group shared a little bit from her life and said, the church that I grew up in considered being right a Christian virtue. Anybody else here grow up in that kind of an environment? Do you know what I mean when I say that? Like, it is a badge of honor to be right. It is more than that. It's a virtue to pursue, that being Christian means being right, having the right answers, knowing all of the answers and being confident in those answers, right? Like that was their experience growing up. And I get that. I know what that is like. I can relate to that, and I still even feel it today. The desire to be right and to put that over and above relationship. Here in Romans 14, and I would contend really actually throughout the New Testament, relationship trumps being right. You know, when Jesus is asked what the greatest commandment is, what's most important, what's the one thing, Jesus gives two things: love God and love neighbor. It's like a double your deal, too, and bang for your buck. He gives two things, you know. Love of God and love of neighbor cannot be separated in the mind of Jesus. You cannot do one without the other. You cannot love God and not love the other. You cannot honor God without honoring the other. John says this pretty clearly. You've probably heard this verse. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Ooh, ooh. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. I wonder if you've experienced this desire to be right over relationship. Have you experienced that in your life? Have you felt that pull? I know that when I'm in conflict with people I know and love, I say things and do things to ensure that I win, to be right, to come out on top. I place those things over the relationship. And I don't just do it with people I love, I do it with people I don't know, but I'm in disagreement with or in conflict with. I do it with the people who are over there on that side of that issue. And I think any sense of relationship with you really doesn't matter. What matters is being right, proving you wrong, defending my ground. And what I find, I read this and I resist the language John uses, but when I am honest with myself, the word hate is something I really need to contend with. That's the word I don't like in here. I would say to you, I don't hate anybody, you know. The reality, though, I think, if again I'm honest, is that when I place being right above relationship and there's somebody over there on that issue that matters deeply to me and they have a completely different viewpoint, hate begins to creep into my heart. It's not just that I think you're wrong, I think you're dumb, as Nate was saying. I think you're misinformed. I think you're unloving. I think you're whatever. How could you come to that position? And it's not just that I disagree with you, it's actually something starts to turn in my heart against you. I actually begin to hate you. I can't stand you. I can't read your post anymore. I don't want to be around you. If I bump into you someplace or if I'm at a gathering with you, I don't want to talk with you. Anybody else experience this sort of stuff? The call of the gospel is to put relationship over being right. And I'm not standing up here today saying that that is easy or that I have a foolproof plan and formula for how you can do that. But I am standing up here calling us back to that original call that God makes to us. To honor God by honoring each other. And what would that mean? What would it mean for you to honor God and for you to honor the other? Again, it doesn't mean that you would agree. It doesn't mean that you would have... you wouldn't have really significant, even contentious disagreements. But it does mean, I think, things like respect and humility and listening well, admitting that I might be wrong and you might be right, or I might not have the whole truth and you might have something to teach me. If I'm in an argument with a Christian brother or sister and I've come to this conviction out of a desire to honor God, and you've come to your conviction out of a desire to honor God, that I would respect that, that I would hold space for that. Whew. In my convictions, do I honor God and the other? Again, let me say it one more time. This is not about agreeing. This is not about even stating our conviction clearly, passionately, and strongly. We're allowed to do that. We should do that. But do I put the relationship above being right? I think that's the kind of church we're trying to be the kind of church that puts relationship above being right. And in some ways, we're fools for trying to do it, because it's really hard. And it is easier, frankly, to just say, here's the line. If you're on this side of the line, you're with us, welcome. And if you're not, you should leave. That's easier to do. We're trying to be the kind of church that says, wow, you're over here. I don't understand how you are there, but I want to and am willing to listen to you. I'm willing to be in relationship with you, despite the fact that I don't get you, or I'm not tracking, or I disagree. I'm willing to lay down this obsession that I have with being right and value you over that desire. So let me just close by inviting you to consider for a moment what your issue is today. Like, what is the issue that gets you riled up? What is the issue you care deeply about, passionately about? You hold a strong conviction over that issue. The message today is not to change your conviction, or that you have to give up a conviction, or that you can't have a conviction about something. But let me just ask you, as you think about that issue for yourself, are you honoring God and honoring the other? Are you loving God and loving the other? Those two things can't be separated. How are you doing on that when it comes to the way that you interact with the people who do not agree with you? And I would just invite you to close your eyes for a moment so you can cut out some of the distraction, maybe quiet your body here for a minute, and just consider those questions. What do I care deeply about? What do I hold a strong conviction over? And am I holding that conviction in a way that honors God? And if the answer is no in some way, which for most of us it probably is going to be, what might need to change or be laid down or surrendered this morning? I just invite you to consider that here in these next few moments of quiet.